Well, imagine we're coming up pretty close to that 2 o'clock hour.
Yes, ma'am. Give the word and we'll start the recording process and then I'll release
All
the file.
right. Why don't we go ahead and start, Mr. Lloyd?
Okay, give us one
Please.
moment to get everything recording and broadcasting. Hi, Madam Chair. The recording process has begun. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Good afternoon. This is the Thursday, May 13th, 2021 meeting of the Cambria Special Services District, CCSD. And this is the call to order for our meeting. Will you join me, please, in the Pledge of Allegiance? Asana, may we have the flag, please?
Yes.
Will you join me in the pledge? I pledge allegiance
Allegiance
to the
to the
flag
flag
of the United States of
of the
America
America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under
under
God, indivisible,
indivisible
with liberty
liberty
and
and
justice for
justice for
all.
all.
Thank you. And in establishing our quorum, we have all five directors available to us today. Thank you. And Mr. Carmel, I believe we have a report from closed session.
Thank you, Madam President. On April 28th, 2021, the board held a special meeting closed session for a conference with legal counsel pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1 to discuss the status of Windler versus CCSD. There's nothing formal to report, though. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. So we'll move on to 1E, President's Report. There are a couple of items I wanted to pass on to you, actually, that were in some ways could be viewed general information, but they do affect the CCSD in other ways. One thing I wanted to relay immediately was that the letter that we sent regarding the polystyrene ban helped contribute to the action that that ban was upheld and the implementation was delayed. This information had come through to me from the League of Women Voters. But on March 10th, initially, Integrated Waste Management had tried to repeal the existing ordinance for banning the use and sale of polystyrene. And it had a 6-7 vote. But that wasn't going to be final until the hearing on April 14th, when a second reading of the ordinance was scheduled. In the April 14th hearing, Jan Marks, the City of San Luis Obispo representative on the IWMA board, invoked a provision of the IWMA bylaws, which allows any member of the board to require a supermajority vote, which would have meant that the 7-6 vote for banning the polystyrene or to relieve the polystyrene ban would have had to have gotten 8 votes. And with that provision in place, the board's vote of 7 to repeal the ban and 9, excuse me, and 6 to retain the ban failed for lack of that 8th vote. Now, the board did take action to delay the implementation of the ban to allow businesses who might be negatively affected by the ban more time to fully recover from pandemic impacts. But their action also included staff direction to return to the IWMA board with recommendations and associated costs for outreach strategy to affected businesses, including any options for the IWMA business assistance. So it appears that we will be able to have a ban on the polystyrene. It may be a little bit of time before it goes into effect on the basis of the additional action that the board took. The other thing that I wanted to make people aware of that probably is a matter of some more downline interest. Again, this has come through from the League of Women Voters. There are, as you may or may not know, new processes that will be going into place for voting within the county. On in May, early May, this year, the SLO County Board of Supervisors decided to return to the old way of running elections, which included neighborhood level polling places open on just one day. Although the board didn't approve the use of voter service centers as we had for the November 2020 elections, they did approve the county clerk recorder's request for upgraded vote by mail processing machines, higher capacity ballot drop boxes, and mobile vote centers that can be deployed for early voting opportunities. The reason I bring this up is the League of Women Voters is going to be having a webinar that the public, as well as members of the LWV, can attend, that is offering a special guest, County Clerk Recorder Tommy Gong, regarding the election rules for 2022. And as we have two directors coming up for election in 2022, I thought there are members of the board as well as the community that might be interested in understanding what the processes would be that would also incorporate the voting of two directors on this board. So those are the pieces of information that I offer for your interest. And with that, I will move on to 1F, which is the agenda review additions and deletions. Do I hear a request from any directors for either of those things?
No.
I don't see anything. Okay, we'll move on to item 2, board member communications, where any board member may make an announcement, report briefly on his or her activities, or ask a question for clarification. Do I have anyone that has, let's see, Director Jean, I saw your hand first, and then we'll go to Director Farmer.
Okay, I have a couple of public service announcements regarding the North Coast Advisory Council. The North Coast Advisory Council has put out a call for candidates for Areas 1, which is San Simeon, Area 3, Park Hill, Area 5, Lodge Hill, east of Highway 1, and Area 7, Central Lodge Hill. The NCAC is our community's direct link to SLO County and is our local public forum for land use, traffic, public safety, and environmental issues. This would be an opportunity for members in our community to represent their neighborhoods on the North Coast Advisory Council. Anyone who is interested in applying for to be a candidate for one of these positions can contact the NCAC at outreach@ncacslo.org, and the deadline for candidates is Wednesday the 19th. Also, I thought members of the public might be interested to know that the North Coast Advisory Council's special speaker this upcoming Wednesday is going to be Michelle Roost, who is a liaison with the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, and she will be describing National Marine Sanctuaries and why they're special to our area. And that will be on Wednesday, the 19th at 6:30. And the link to join this meeting is on the NCAC's website. There was an error in the publication in the Cambrian this morning. It mentioned that the meeting was on Saturday night. It is not. It is on Wednesday, the 19th. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Dean. Director Farmer?
Thank you. I just want to follow up on what Director Dean just said with regard to the fact that we are blessed right here off of Shamwell Park to have the first state marine park in California, the Cambria State Marine Park, which is obviously part of the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. But that's how fortunate we are to be living here, or one of the many reasons that we are. But what I wanted to bring up, and I don't want to take too long about this, I don't know if anybody saw the two articles earlier this week in the Tribune. This was on the front page of Monday's paper. Extreme drought is edging into SLO County from the, you know, from the valley. And then it says down here, most of California in extreme drought conditions or worse. But, and then also there's John Lindsay, the meteorologist for PG&E. Central Coast new normal drought is tied to Pacific Ocean. So I just want to bring up the fact that we, the entire, for the majority of the county, including our area here, is in serious drought already, and we were fortunate to get that deluge that we got in late January. They called it the atmospheric river. It settled over our area. We got more rain than anyone in the county. But we still need to be, you know, as efficient as possible regarding water use. I think most of us in our community still are with regard to what happened, let's say, 5 to 7 years ago when the drought arrived in our community. But it's important to pass on conservation measures to especially to other people that might not be this aware, especially new arrivals in our community. And this is something that not just the residents, but the businesses need to be more aware of, make this a major priority as we move forward, you know, through spring and into summer. And so I just want to encourage people to, you know, bring this up with their friends. Don't be alarmist or anything, but just be aware of the facts as to water availability, and especially talk to new arrivals in town or people that you see are vacationing here for a month or something, to make them aware of the situation. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Anyone else? All right, not seeing any other hands, we will move on to commission reports then, item 3, and the pro-chairman's report. And Mr. Niffen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Certainly can.
Awesome. I'm coming to you from the softball field down at the high school, and I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that Pam Kenyon, a longtime advocate for youth sports in Cambria, passed away after her valiant battle with cancer. She'd been a 30-year coach and teacher out at the high school, and she moved on yesterday. And that's been kind of heavy for everybody at the high school and the kids, and for, you know, quite a large swath of people in our community. And I just wanted to acknowledge her passing and her contribution, and just once again advocate for what it is that I feel one of my duties as the Parks and Rec chairman is, advocating for the ability for kids to play sports, or quite frankly anything at this level. And I'm humbled by Pam's contribution to this community over 30 years, and I just want to say that I'm grateful for that. That takes me into my report, which I've got a few things written down here, and you can ask me questions about them, or we could cover them more in-depthly. The skate park, the bathrooms, the dog park, which is a little bit of an issue that might need some discussion. We had a discussion on our budget. We could talk about that. We've got a bylaws committee of Joyce and Jim Beringer that are looking at our bylaws, which we think is a good idea and probably should be done every couple of years. Other than that, there's other things that are always on the list: the pocket park, the vacant lots, the homeless situation. But those are the items the agenda, or that were on the agenda for this month. But the dog park is a little bit of an issue, just because I think in just a simple statement, is somebody's really from the dog park people's kind of got to come up, and they need to get a group of people together to assist our staff with just taking care of the overall maintenance of the park and the water. And there you go. Carlos has discussed it a little bit more in depth, but other than that, I think I'll take questions and leave it at that.
Okay. Just as a point of reference, Steve, the board and the advisory committees that we have review their bylaws on a yearly basis.
The pros bylaws.
Oh, no. You may want to be reviewing your own bylaws and bringing forward for any changes, but I'm just letting you know that the other organizations in the district review on a yearly basis.
Yeah, okay, there you go. We should too. So, yeah, we have been remiss. I think that's what...
John, oh, no, that wasn't the point. Just not my intention to point it out in that way. No. Okay. Are there any questions or anything that any of the directors would like to request of Mr. Niffen? Director Farmer?
I would just like, Steve, for the folks that are watching that may not be as on top of the situation as possible, where do you see the skate park? Where do you see the situation with the skate park right now and moving forward in the near future?
In the next 2-3 weeks, Mr. Spahn at Spahn Ranch, the developer should have, I wish I could say the right words, a picture, a drawing, you know, conceptual plans that we can sink our teeth into and really begin to look into. We're waiting on the also the findings of Monty at Civil Engineering as to what actually lies underneath that particular piece of dirt. Mm-hmm. So literally by this time next month, we would hope to have some solid answers to those questions. But right now we're in that period. We're happy to be in that development period.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
That's good. It's good news.
It is good news.
So Steve, let me ask a question if I may. I believe that Spahn Ranch is the one who's actually contracting the civil engineering. Is that?
Yeah. I say we're waiting because I just want to make sure that the dirt's okay. I'm pretty sure that he's actually doing the work for Spahn Ranch. Yes, that's not our business. Right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious because I wasn't sure. Have you seen any documentation to see
no.
if Spahn Ranch is contracted with him? Because I'm thinking that may not have happened yet, and you may want to check that.
Oh, I would hope so. Okay, I'll double check that.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions or inquiries? Okay, and then on the bathroom, let me ask where does the work stand on that?
Well, we could talk about that, but actually the ad hoc committee of Jim and Kermit are coming to the meeting next time with their report on where we stand on that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I would just be ad-libbing.
No problem. Just was curious where things were in form. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I don't see any other Director Farmer.
I just want to quickly ask Steve. Steve, are you out there at the softball field because the girls have a game later today?
Yeah, I'm in the shed. I after what happened, I just felt like I wanted to be down here with the girls, so I rigged up my phone in the shed.
All right.
Thanks. Good. You know, that's one of the blessings of Zoom, I guess.
Good for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate your information and feedback, and we'll look forward to next month. It sounds like we'll have some concrete items to add to the discussion. Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. What we'll do then is move on to public comment, item 4. And Osana, do we have either members of the public who want to speak or have provided written items?
I have no written, and I don't see any hands up at the moment.
Okay. Well, we'll give it just a second here to see if anyone responds, and if not, we'll move on to the next item. So unless I hear differently from you, what we will do then is move on to item 5, hearings and appeals. And Jim Weigold, if you could introduce this item, please.
Yes, President Steidel, agenda item 5A is discussion and consideration of adoption of resolution 13-2021, confirming the itemized report of water and wastewater standby or availability charges for collection on the county tax roll. At the close of this public hearing, staff recommends that the board of directors adopt resolution 13-2021, confirming the itemized report of the water and wastewater standby or availability charges so that the charges can be collected on the county tax rolls. At the last meeting on April 15th, the board fixed the charges pursuant to our government code. These charges are imposed on all owners of developed parcels and owners of undeveloped parcels with intent to serve letters or connection permits. We've attached a list of all those connections in Exhibit A. And I'll turn it back over to you for your consideration.
All right. Thank you. Let me ask the board members, if there are comments from the public, would you like to hear them first before we do this, or have discussion amongst board members? Any preference? No.
Madam President, it's a public hearing, so you should probably open the public hearing.
All right. I will open it as the public hearing then. Lasana, do we have any members of the public who wish to speak?
No, there aren't any.
All right. Then I will bring it back to the board. Are there any comments from the board before I request motion? Director Farmer?
Thank you. I just like a little bit of clarification with regard to on pages 6 and 10, where you have these blank areas with regard to wastewater availability charges. I know I've already asked the general manager and and our finance officer to explain that to me, but if one of the two of them could just explain why some of those areas are blank, whereas water, of course, is for everyone, but why nothing with wastewater in some of those spots?
President Stradale, I can take that on.
All right.
Those blanks are those parcels that have no sewer connection.
That's pretty definitive. Okay.
So they likely have a septic tank or something like that?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Osana, still no public comment. I take it as I haven't heard anything from you. Okay. All right, then. I will entertain a motion, please, to accept to a vote on agenda item 5A. Oh. Director Gray?
Yeah, I move that the Board of Directors adopt the resolution 13-2021 as submitted.
All right. And a second, Director Dean?
I'll second that.
All right. So the motion is by Director Gray and seconded by Director Dean and Osana. Roll call, please.
Yes. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye, Director Gray, aye. Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Director Dean, aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Howell, aye. And President Stidell?
Aye.
President Stidell, aye. 5 ayes, 0 nays.
Thank you, Osana. So agenda item 5A has passed with a 5-0 vote. Thank you, everyone. We'll move on to our regular business items. Item 6A, discussion and consideration to direct the policy committee to develop an outdoor lighting policy. GM Weigel, would you introduce the item, please?
Yes, President Stidell. Agenda item 6A is discussion and consideration to direct the policy committee to develop an outdoor lighting policy. It is recommended that the board of directors discuss and consider this potential policy, directing the policy committee to develop an outdoor lighting policy. Staff has attached a listing of all the lighting that we pay for currently on a month-to-month basis. That totals roughly about $1,200 in lighting charges. And as outlined in that attachment, some of those lighting fixtures are owned by PG&E, some of them are owned by us. per the code at the very bottom of page 49. The only one that's different is OL1, which basically stands for outdoor lighting. The others are street and highway lighting. We haven't done a deep dive information gathering yet on this, pending your decision on a way forward. But but Carlos did make some initial inquiries at the county level, and I wanted him to address the board on that. If you want to do that now or following public comment.
Why don't we have Carlos go ahead and provide the information, because that might be something additionally for the public to want to know about. Carlos, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. So just wanted to pass on just a little bit of information. As General Manager Weigel has mentioned, we haven't really dug deep into street lighting pending the decision today, but we have had a little bit of experience with some of the street lights that we own. Obviously, the main maintenance and repair area is the street lights on Main Street. But we are also have some responsibility for the other street lights that, even though PG&E owns, we still have a say on the lighting output and color and such. I did make a inquiry to the county as far as whether they have any direction to us as far as how much output, how much lighting color wise they would recommend on street lighting. And at this point, they basically leave it up to the CSD and PG&E to make that decision. That's basically all I wanted to provide as far as feedback.
Okay. And were you able to determine what kind of policy the county has, or how that's reflected in their codes and how that applies to areas that are unincorporated within the county?
Yeah, so again, we haven't dug very deep into it, but it's my understanding that the county is currently looking into reviewing that those policies and those directions. As far as when they will get to them, I'm not sure. We can certainly make some inquiries to the county as far as a time frame of when they'll be reviewing the lighting issue and when they believe that those recommendations will be coming out.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carlos. All right. With that in hand, why don't we go ahead and take public comment, please? And Osama, do you have anyone from public comment?
There is no written, and only Mr. Carmel's hand is up.
Madam President, the public hearing serves as public comment.
Well, wait, this is a regular business item.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I got confused for a moment.
I must have faded out on.
Yeah. No problem. I'm sorry, Osana, I didn't catch the last part of your comment about any hands raised.
It was only in council, so no hands raised.
Oh, okay. Raised. All right. With that being
said, Director Dean, Director Dean.
Yes, I'm going to bring it back to the board. Director Dean.
We have an amazing number of streetlights. We're responsible for paying for a lot more than I thought. And that's $1,200 a month. That's correct for the whole month. And then in the rate schedules next to them, some of them have letters like A through F. What do those letters stand for? I mean, I understand the code at the bottom of which ones PG&E owns and which ones the CCSD owns, but what is the other number letter after that? I think Pam has her hand up.
Well, I'm sorry, I was looking at it myself. Pam, thank you.
I can answer that. It's based on the lamp, the type of lamp or light that it is. It might be an LED light. It might be a halogen lamp. It just depends on the lamp type that it is. That's how we get billed from PG&E.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions that any of the directors have? Okay. So let me ask a question. Vice President Howell, as you're chairing this committee, was the committee aware that the county is currently updating its policy?
Yes, I believe they were. I think the concern is that we do have considerable responsibility, and as long as it's understood that whatever policies were to come forward, it would always be over, you know, would take the county policies would, of course, take precedence. But I think the feeling is that in the meantime, it's better not to wait. I think the argument here is that since the district has no specific policy, Carlos really has very little guidance as to when replacing or repairing a fixture is, for example, when replacing a fixture, is there some, would this community and this board like to weigh in as to what kind of level of light and what color, that sort of thing? It seems to me, and it seemed to the committee, that it would be appropriate for the district to weigh in on this, with the understanding, of course, that it would only supplement the county policy when that comes forth. And what I take from Carlos is there's really no indication at all as to when the county will be taking this up. We know it's on their list, but it could be a year. It could be 2 years. Meanwhile, replacements occur. So it might be well for this board to express, at least in some general statement, about its position regarding outdoor lighting. Now, the policy that they're suggesting, or they're not suggesting a policy, but only in the agenda packet, the report from the committee simply lists the reasons why they feel that that the board should consider a policy, and would like to have the board delegate the policy committee to come forth with a proposal. We mustn't forget, in addition to the streetlights, that we do have our own properties where there are sometimes outside lights, and there are issues regarding how those should be maintained, issues about light bleeding over onto other properties. What's our position regarding that? What's our position regarding shielding from so that the lights do not go up into the atmosphere? There is no guidance, to my knowledge, or to anyone on the committee's knowledge, there is no real guidance from the board on these issues. So that is what the policy committee is hoping that the board will consider sending this to them so they may come back with some suggestion to the board.
So let me ask, should we really be considering this in two aspects, one that is specific to the district properties, which probably are a little bit different than street lighting, for instance, because the district properties are security as well as for safety. You know, for obviously if operators for some reason have to be doing things at night, and I don't know whether those can be staged or whatever might be associated with it, but perhaps with the county looking to revise its policy, would there be an opportunity to wait as far as the street lighting is concerned on Main, for instance? I mean, I doubt that we want to get into a situation where we'd start making a decision about a difference in color of street lights or something else without recognizing that we'd have to replace them all, because having carnival lights going down the street probably in different colors probably is not something that would lend itself well, where potentially the lighting for, you know, particularly for the wastewater plant and the water plant facilities, the fire department, those kinds of things, may be of a different tenor. Director Gray?
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt, but I did have a couple of questions about the scope of this, what this policy would be. And I think you, President Steidel just touched on it. Is this referring to situations where we'd actually would replace lighting to have another kind of lighting, or would it be in the course of normal maintenance and repair of what we do? Because obviously, if it's a replacement of lighting, there's a capital expense involved, which I think is going maybe beyond what we're asking for today. My other general comment about this practice, the need for a policy or who can best formulate a policy, is that I think we don't want to make it too complicated. We are only dealing with first of all, we're not dealing with obviously an ordinance that would affect private other properties. It's simply strictly the lights that CCSD operates on its property or on the street. And it's very operational, an internal operational policy. And there are, there's plenty of information available, especially from groups like the Dark Sky Association, about how to have dark sky compliant lighting, what the principles are. It seems that Carlos has already started doing the preparatory work for developing a policy, and the guidance I think should be quite simple. I think this should be referred to staff. That's my bottom line. But with instructions that they follow, recognize dark sky principles and obviously energy efficiency and safety and so forth. And we could go into slightly more detail about the principles. I don't think there's any mystery about what the policy should be. And I don't think it needs to go to a long deliberative committee, standing committee process to give the staff sort of the guidelines they need for the process of maintaining and replacing and so forth the lighting. All of that subject to the county policy, of course.
Can any other directors have any comments or input toward it? All right. Yep, so, right, Director Farmer?
I just want to follow up on what Tom said. It's, very considerate comments with regard to, our entire community in some fashion or another, being a dark sky community, and in whatever way that the district can contribute to that would be of a real advantage, not to the residents of the community, as well as the people that visit here, who appreciate having a totally different, how could we say it, lighting, not necessarily a policy, but just coming to a community where there aren't as many streetlights and where therefore just the energy itself is more conducive to being relaxed and feeling a sense of more connection with nature than the brightness of man-made lights and more connection with the sky above, so to speak. But I really want to second the comments that Director Gray made. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments before calling for a motion? I will say I'm thinking that this has the possibility of something we should consider later, and I'm saying that in these regards. Number one, the staff is fully consumed right now across the board between the new budget, the UWMP, all of those kinds of things, which may not be touching on this policy directly. But in addition to that, Carlos has also had significant work content to deal with and still is. I mean, he's sitting in an office in the vets hall because we still need to be able to work towards trying to get things resolved as far as his facility buildings and things. And that combination and the fact that the county may be looking at something in terms of their policy, if we were able to reconsider this, maybe by the time we get to, say, July, that we would have gotten past several of the major hoops that we're trying to go through for staff mm-hmm. and the work content that they have right now. As well as then maybe having a better perspective to what the county is doing. So on the basis of that, I would probably vote no on this, not because I disagree with it or don't think that we need it. I just think time-wise that consideration of moving it out a little bit would be helpful for the staff and might provide us a better perspective from the county's review of the work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Director Gray.
That was points well taken about the staff workload. I think that's a good idea to maybe continue this till, say, first meeting in July, if that's a
first or second meeting,
either meeting in July,
somehow. How that falls out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Vice President Howell, is your hand up? Is that what I'm seeing? Okay.
Yes, it is, but I'd like to hear from General Manager Weigold first, if you don't mind.
Certainly.
Jim Weigold. Thank you, President Howell and President Seidel. I was simply going to add that as part of the charter for this, that if the policy committee is going to look into it, that I would simply request that any policy include the financial implications and potential ongoing maintenance costs associated with any of the policies that are developed or recommended. Thank you.
And actually, as another element for the idea of potentially being able to move it out a little bit, considering that the process of the 21-22 budget is in its throes right now. So, Vice President Howell.
I think everyone has brought forth some very good points. I would like to point out, I think it's already been mentioned, that staff is pretty overwhelmed right now, and to ask them to, at this point, come up with a policy is probably asking a little much. I will say that members of the committee have been working closely with Carlos in this area already. And I don't know, I think the board's reservations here, I can appreciate them, but I don't think that what the policy committee is proposing, although I can't necessarily speak for all of them, is simply to provide some general statements that would provide guidance in the situation where, say, Carlos needs to replace a fixture. Or I don't know that anyone is proposing any kind of a policy that would require the board to the district to go out and replace all of its fixtures. It's simply the fact that at this point, there really is neither the general manager nor Carlos have any guidance from this board regarding whatever decisions they might make regarding replacing and repairing fixtures that already exist. So for that reason, I don't see any harm in allowing the policy committee to go ahead, make an attempt at it. Of course, the board will have to approve it under all circumstances, and they might entirely reject the entire thing. But to me, it makes sense to allow them to go forward with this, because we're not talking, this is not an operational issue. This is just somebody coming up with a policy statement that the board will make regarding its position regarding outside lighting that we're responsible for. So I would recommend that, well, it's all well and good to bring this back in July, but we'd be right where we are right now in July if we don't get some other input. And since the committee has already given serious consideration to this, I think we might want to give them the opportunity to come back with something. That's my only opinion there. I don't think that it will. I think the other issue is to delay, because the county may at some unstated future point take an action. It's very similar to the position that the waste management folks were taking, saying we don't need the styrofoam ban because sometime in the next several years, the state is anticipating creating such a ban, so we don't need one right now. Well, clearly that doesn't address the issues of any kind of immediate needs. So by the same token, we don't know when the county will come up with a policy. But I don't see why it shouldn't prevent this board from making a position. And such a policy might be one or two sentences. I think we may be even discussing this more than we really need to. But I recommend that you go ahead, let the policy committee do its work. I think it may make your job easier if they have something to present to you that you can then rip apart rather than try to build something. As we say, staff is already quite busy, and I wouldn't feel right in asking them all on their own to come up with such a policy when they're already so busy. Since we do have volunteers that are willing to do this, why not use them? That's my feeling on the matter. Okay.
Thank you. I will say that I would imagine that anything brought forward to the board without some indication of what a financial impact would be likely not something that would get past the board in its voting. The other thing that I was kind of struck by was the reference that you made that the committee's already worked closely with Carlos on this, but they weren't given direction to do anything about this. So why are they spending staff time working with him?
Are you directing that question to me, President?
Yes.
I'm not prepared to answer that at this time. This whole issue of what the policy committee works on and how they get their work is not fully worked out yet. And it's an area that I think we all do need to discuss, but I don't think this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
Not unless you want to take the next couple hours.
No. That isn't what the agenda item is.
Yeah. I know.
So, Director Gray?
Yeah. Getting back to the idea of postponing this, the staff time issue, of course, cuts both ways, because if the policy committee is working on this, they need staff input as part of their deliberations. Staff participation, the Carlos or general manager would have to be part of it. And that is, again, a staff time demand. So I don't think there's any way if the policy is being developed to not have the staff involved, whether it's by committee or by the staff separately.
I guess we could probably continue to discuss this on and on, but I think maybe what we need to do is to take a motion on the question. Director Farmer?
Yes, earlier in the discussion, you were going to request public comment, and then you diverted to Carlos to see what he had to say before getting back to public comment, which we never did. And I see that there's two attendees who have their hands up. Maybe they have, I know you probably don't want to continue this particular item, but perhaps we can see if they have something productive to contribute to the discussion before we make a motion.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that I had called for public comment and Osana indicated that there weren't any hands up. So I moved on to discussion by the board. It had already moved back to the board.
Okay.
So I would entertain a motion regarding agenda item 6A, please. Director Gray?
I move that 6A be continued to one of the two meetings in July.
All right. Do I hear a second for that? Vice President Howell? No, well, your hand is up. That's why.
Sorry.
Okay. So again, do I hear a second for that? No. Okay.
So may I make a motion?
You may.
I move that the board direct the policy committee to come forth with a lighting policy as indicated in their report.
Okay, and do I hear a second for that?
I'll go ahead and second that.
All right, so the motion is by Vice President Howell and it's seconded by Director Farmer. So Osana, may we have roll, please?
Yes, the motion was to, can you repeat that, Vice President Howell?
Let's make it really simple. The motion is to direct the policy committee to come back to the board with a lighting policy.
Okay. All right. And so Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Vice President Howell, aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Director Farmer, aye. Director Gray?
No.
Director Gray, no. And Director Dean?
No.
no. Director Dean, no. And President Steidel?
No.
No. President Steidel, no. So there are three no's and two ayes.
Okay, thank you. So the motion does not pass for agenda item 6A with two yeas and three nays. So we will move on to agenda item 6B. And GM Weigel, would you introduce the item, please?
Yes, President Steidel, agenda item 6B is discussion and consideration of adoption of the budget policy revisions recommended by the Finance Committee. Staff recommends that the board review the budget policy revisions that are attached, which are recommended by the Finance Committee, and consider adoption of this revised policy. Last month at its April 27th meeting, the Finance Committee reviewed these revisions and approved the recommendation 5-0. Essentially, the changes reflect the name change from the Sustainable Water Facility to the Water Reclamation Facility. And I will turn it back over to you pending your questions.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take this to public comment, please. Usana, do we have any either written comment or anyone requesting comment?
No written comment. And Frank W., go ahead.
Hello, this is Frank W. I was really trying to make a comment on the lighting thing, even though I had raised my hand, apparently it didn't get recognized, and I didn't want to reopen this, but I think that the lighting thing is more important than people realize.
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry, we've already passed through that agenda item, so I'm afraid that we can't discuss it any further.
Okay, but you're going to need to turn the streetlights off in front of my house, or I'm going to take you to court. Sorry.
Thank you, sir. And I'd suggest if you have an issue in that regard, if you haven't already, if you could voice your concerns, please, to our general manager, Mr. Weigold, and he can address and understand the issue that you're having. So I appreciate your feedback. Unfortunately, it was just something that, as a Brown Act, we cannot move into another another agenda item that's already been passed. So please, if you would voice your concerns to our general manager so that he can assist you. So Asana, are there any other?
No, there aren't any others.
Okay, fine. Thank you. So we'll move it back to the board. Are there any questions or clarifications from any of the directors? Director Dean.
So all we're doing is voting to approve the name change from SWF to WRF in these documents, as we already said we were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So it's basically an administrative action, right? Okay.
You want a motion?
Please.
Okay. I move that we accept the adoption of the budget policy revisions recommended by the Finance Committee to change the title, the name in the documents from SWF to WRF.
Thank you. And a second, Director Gray.
Yep.
And Osana, roll call, please.
Yes. Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Director Gray.
Aye.
Director Dean, aye. Director Gray, aye. Director Farmer?
No.
Director Farmer, no. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Aye. Vice President Howell, aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Aye. Vice President Steidel, aye. Four ayes, one nay.
All right. Thank you very much. So agenda item 5B, adoption budget policy revisions recommended by the Finance Committee, passes with four ayes and one nay. Thank you. So we'll move to 6C. And Jim Weichold, if you'd introduce, please.
Yes, President Steidel, agenda item 6C is discussion and consideration of adoption of the reserve policy revisions recommended by the Finance Committee. Staff recommends that the board review the reserve policy revisions recommended by the Finance Committee and consider adoption of that revised policy. Again, at its April 27th meeting, the Finance Committee reviewed the revisions to the reserve policy and recommended its approval to the board by a vote of 5-0. Again, similar to the previous policy, the only change here is the name change from the sustainable water facility to the water reclamation facility, and no other changes to the reserve policy are recommended. Pending your questions, I'll turn it back over to you, President Steidel.
Okay. Thank you, Jim Weichold. And so this is another administrative action in the same vein as the one that we just looked at. It's just that it's specific to the reserve policy. So Osama, do we have any public comment either by written or by request?
No written, and I do not see anyone's hand up. We will maybe give it 5 seconds.
Certainly.
Nothing.
All right. So I'll entertain a motion for this agenda item, please. Director Dean.
I move that we adopt the reserve policy revisions recommended by the Finance Committee to change the name from the SWF to the WRF.
Thank you. And do I have a second?
I second.
Director Gray. Masana, could you do the roll call, please?
Thank you. Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Director Dean, aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. Director Farmer?
No.
Director Farmer, no. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Howell, aye. President Steidel?
Aye.
President Steidel, aye. 4 ayes, 1 nay. Thank you.
Thank you, Asana. So agenda item 6C for the changes to the reserve policy or reserve policy revisions for administrative change. Passed with 4 ayes and 1 nay. Thank you. So let's see, we're about an hour into a meeting. I guess I'll ask just quickly, does anyone want to have a biological break before we take care of doing the board member and committee and liaison reports? Or shall we move on? Okay. All right. So to item 7, board member committee and liaison reports. And the with the exception of the policy committee, we have reports from each of the committees, mm-hmm. the finance committee, resources committee, and some liaison reports from NCAC, the FFRP Forest Committee, and the Ad Hoc Forest Management Committee that are part of this package of reports. So I will call for public comment, as I normally do before these. With the realignment of having these reports available to us like this in the new format, hopefully the community's had a chance to read these reports as attachments. So if you have any questions regarding any of them, I'll call for those comments now. Osana, do you have either written or hands?
Yes, I have Crosby and Laura Swartz. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, President Steidel and members of the board. I have a question about an item that came up at the R&I committee meeting with regard to the presentation by Medeas Water Management on the demand modeling. They have a very important table in this report outlining the current and projected.
Let me ask a question. I apologize for interrupting, Crosby, but let me ask a question of Mr. Carmel. Is this within the context of what we're discussing right now?
I think you have some discretion here.
Okay. I guess I'm going to ask Mr. Crosby, the reference that you're making is what in regard to in none of these reports that were filed. So is that in regard to, well, the R&I?
Yeah.
I take that back. Yes.
Wanted to bring a matter just to the board's attention.
Okay. All right. I apologize for the interruption.
No, understood.
Continue.
No, I just want to point out that there's a table in the demand management report that had some puzzling information in it that the board should be aware of. This table 4.2, demands for potable water, they show the 2020 total water demand is 747 acre feet, and then they project in five-year increments what the projected water use will be in the future. Well, the 2020 water demand is 530 acre feet. That's what we're currently using, not 747 acre feet. So there's over a 200 acre foot discrepancy there. And I think the board needs to find out why that is and if that affects the other numbers, the projected numbers for the future that are in this table. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Sana, Director Dean, I'm going to go to check to see if there was any additional public comment first. Osana, are there any other public comments?
No. Oh, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Director Dean?
Yes, Crosby brought this up at our R&I meeting during this presentation, and I believe our utilities staff is looking into that discrepancy. And I know this whole report is going to be coming before the board and for the public with a hearing in the future date, so we will be looking at that again.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully that was of help to you and information, Mr. Schwartz. Okay.
General manager has his hand up.
Yeah, it's interesting, the hands up as far as the hand itself, the hands are yellow and they're up in the top portion of the screen and they just blend in with everything. And so they're not mm-hmm. easily identifiable. So I apologize if the use of the hand like that is not working. So GM Weigold.
Thanks, President Steidel. An easier way to watch for hands is to click on the participant button on the bottom. So you have it on the right-hand side and you can click on either the attendees or the panelists. And if you can see whether or not there are a hand up pretty quickly there, might be
right.
More helpful.
Right. Appreciate that.
Thank you. I do want to point out regarding Crosby's note there that's from the 2015 UWMP, not the current plan. It's not a discrepancy. And that's all.
Excellent. Thank you for answering the question. Okay. The report from Director Farmer that the portion of the Forest Management Ad Hoc Committee was one line, and it was a reference to something that you were involved with, Director Gray. And I was just wondering, is there anything additionally? The report said regarding the Ad Hoc Forest Committee, Tom is trying to arrange a meeting for May. but has yet to arrange for all the parties involved to be available. We'll see how it turns out. So I was just wondering if you had anything additionally you wanted to add to that, since it was your reference or your reference to you.
That has actually moved forward a little bit. We're there's going to be a the next meeting of the ad hoc committee, basically with several people we're interviewing, essentially, is going to be on May 24th at 10 a.m. We're talking to Steve Otten, Dan Turner, Keith Seidel at the Rancho Norris Marino, I think David Pearson, and I think Director Farmer was trying to line up somebody from the Slow Land Conservancy. So we're getting basically, it's a continuing effort to get input from both stakeholders and experts, essentially, about the best practices and economics of forest management. So that's just to flesh that out. We're moving ahead with that meeting.
Okay, excellent. So, Director Farmer, were you successful in getting anyone yet from the Land Conservancy?
It's a bit difficult. In fact, I when I commented on at a recent other meeting, with regard to not having heard back from someone from the Slow Land Conservancy, there was a person involved in one of the committees in the community who said that it took them 2 weeks to hear back from someone at the Slow Land Conservancy. So I'm going to press them a little firmer with regard to hearing from them so one of them can attend our meeting. And we're just basically, the first meeting had, how could we say it? These two meetings are going to reflect different perspectives on how to approach forest management generally and especially within our community. So the first meeting was with some of the more local agencies and committees here in town, and the others are going to be a little bit more broad-based, like we said, CAL FIRE and so forth. So that's where we're at right now. And like we said, we didn't have a firm date when I typed that up. And Director Gray referenced that.
Okay, excellent. Thank you both for the work that's going on there, as well as the work that's going on with the Cambria Fire Safe Focus Group.
Right. Yeah, Mr. Otten, by the way, Mr. Otten, who's going to be attending our meeting on the 24th, he gave a presentation yesterday at the Fire Safe Focus Group, which was somewhat similar to a presentation that he gave about a month or so ago.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other ad hoc committee reports that anyone would like to, Director Dean? I'm still mute.
Director Farmer and I were assigned to be an ad hoc committee on intent to serve, and we have met again, and we do have a final meeting scheduled with Melissa Ray and District Council on the 24th, and we should be able to present a recommendation to the board at the first meeting in June.
Excellent. Thank you. Director Gray.
Yeah, well, Vice President Howell and I have been pretty busy on an ad hoc committee, too, with the defining a work plan for the policy committee and staff on completing the update of the policy manual. So we will meet again. I think we've had three meetings so far, I believe, and we'll be meeting at least one more time, I think next Monday, trying to finalize a list, essentially, of the work of the policy policies that need to be looked at, updated, revised, so forth, and have something hopefully completed by next month. I don't know. President Powell can give us, I'm hoping for next month.
Okay.
Smiling.
And Vice President Howell's laughing. So I'm not sure whether that's good or bad.
Well, next month, basically have it something for the board to look at in June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll see.
Are there any other, Director Farmer?
Yeah, I just want to, two brief comments, one real brief. When Director Dean just made the remark about the meeting that we're going to be having, and she said Melissa Ray and so I just wanted to interject that comment, the comma in between Melissa and Ray. It's not Melissa Ray, it's Melissa and Ray. So just in case anybody got confused. Also, and I feel a little bit reluctant to bring this up, but in the report from the Finance Committee from their meeting on April 27th, there was a discussion at the beginning of the meeting that was initiated by Vice Chair of the Finance Committee, Ted Siegler, regarding, how could we say it, controversy regarding the cost of the facility on San Simeon Creek Road, and how he felt that, Mr. Siegler, that those numbers, those figures were being misrepresented. And it actually turned out to be a discussion among all members of the board, of the committee, even though, except for Marvin Corner, even though it wasn't an agenda item, it was discussed for roughly 15 minutes. If that isn't indicated in the Finance Committee report, and I just feel like maybe that should have been tended to. It quite possibly was a Brown Act violation, that particular discussion, since it wasn't an agenda item. But like I say, all members of the committee contributed, and it took about 15 minutes. So that's not noted, like I said, in the minutes, in the report. So I just thought I'd bring it up. Thank you.
A brief comment on that. I think the idea, the report to the CCSD board is meant to cover actions actually were taken. And this discussion was, Director Farmer is right, the discussion was not on the agenda. We are going to be taking steps in the future to essentially place these.
I'm starting to wonder whether this conversation isn't kind of.
I know, but I mean, but it was not an act. There's no action taken by the committee, and we've dealt with the Brown Act issues.
Okay.
In future procedures, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Any comment?
No, I did discuss this with both Director Farmer and Director Gray, so we sort of reconciled the whole thing.
All right. Thank you. Vice President Howell.
Thank you. I think I can make just a very brief mention of what the Policy Committee has on its plate right now for its next meeting. I usually construct rather large agendas, and then things get dropped off when we can't get to them. But right now, what we're looking at is finishing up the issue of correspondence to the board. There was one issue open on that we had been asked to deal with. And I'm trying to restricting the work to stuff that has come to the Policy Committee from the board one way or another. So that we also are going to continue the discussion about purchase of used equipment and an issue regarding the use of surveillance cameras on district property. So those are the items which actually have been sent to the Policy Committee by one or another or all of the board. And those are generally things fall off of this agenda as we progress when we see that we're not going to have time. But those are the issues that I expect the committee will most likely be looking at in their meeting at the end of the month.
Okay, thank you. Particularly that purchase of used equipment. I think that request goes back to 2019. So I think probably putting that up towards the top of the agenda items may be of value. Okay. All right. So any other ad hoc meetings, any other committee meetings that we need to? All right. Seeing none, then what I'd like to do then is move to item A, future agenda items. Are there any future agenda items being offered by any directors? Director Farmer.
Thank you. This is not quite an agenda item, nevertheless, and it's something that I've brought up with Mr. D'Enzo, as well as our general manager, Mr. Weigold, with regard to a future utilities manager's report. And it's probably not probably can't happen next week, but perhaps at the June Utilities Managers Report, perhaps Mr. Gus Yates from Todd Groundwater could make a brief appearance during that report so he can answer questions with regard to the in-stream flow study and how that's progressing. And also perhaps we could have Cindy Cleveland, our resident biologist, present as well to maybe answer some questions regarding the health of the environment and the natural habitat around San Simeon Creek Road and the emergency water facility. I just get some clarification on that, considering you know, the changing weather conditions and that type of thing. So thank you.
Thank you. And I appreciate the idea of having that information available. The thing that we need to keep in mind is what our contracts are with those people. And I know that the question has come up before about Mr. Yates coming to answer questions. And correct me if I'm wrong, GM Weigold, that's not part of his contract. And we'd be requesting something of him that he wouldn't necessarily be prepared to do because it's not part of his contract requirement or obligation.
I'd honestly have to check on that, but while I understand the request, I think it may be, I'd want to consult first with the utilities folks, but also we're going to be having a report of the full urban water management plan coming up in June. You know, might be appropriate then, but those consultants would certainly bill us for the time, and we could include it within the contract as written. We do have some cushion there, but I think timing might be premature before they have finished their work.
Okay, thank you.
We're pretty close to the end here to report back to next month to the board.
Any agenda items? Okay, not hearing any. Then what I will do is ask for public comment on closed session items. And Asana, were there any written? So I don't see any hands up and no written, okay?
No written, no.
All right. Well, with that, then we have completed our regular agenda items. So we will then be adjourning to closed session. So thank you for your participation today, public and any others. The participants on record with Zoom or any others that may be watching this at a later time. And we will move to closed session, and it's 3:17. So I think we can probably move fairly quickly to 3:20. Okay. Unless you want to take a biology break first.
May I ask that Osana resend us the link for that part?
I just did.
Oh, thank you. Obviously, excellent. I'm not looking at my email.
Thank you, Asana.
Thank you, Asana.
You're welcome.
So okay, thank you all. Okay. See you. Bye-bye. In closed session.
See you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.